Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
Well, a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. We are coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Genesis Room, right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama. Randy Bergen is on assignment today, but you will catch his show coming up right after this, right here on FM Talk 106.5. Rick Cleveland and the star of the show, Mark Lasseter, is here with us this morning. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Rick. I don't know about stars, but I sure am happy to be here.
Oh, I took my breath away.
Sorry, man.
That's part of it. That's what you do to us, Mark.
Yeah, boy.
You know, I wanted to kind of start the show off this morning by talking just a little bit about what's going on football-wise. I know you guys are hot and heavy in it right now at Bayside. Talk just a little bit about what's going on as we approach 1 July. Where are we football-wise with most high school teams?
I think most high school teams by now have had their kids into at least 2 weeks of work, some three, some four, depending on when they started. Different coaches have different styles they do in the summertime. Some of them go, you know, they start at 3 days a week.
Yeah.
3 days a week. And then after the 4th of July week, normally most schools take the week off or a few days off during around this time, kind of give their kids a break, come back after the holidays and get back into it for a few more weeks. A lot of them are going to 7-on-7 camps, playing in different tournaments in different places. Some are just working themselves, but most of them all are in full swing by now, and their kids are pretty revved up and getting going pretty good. So about the halfway point, because you look, 4th of July week will take a full week, and that's and most school, we're going to be out 4th of July week. We take that week off, and then we come back for about three more weeks.
Yeah.
But we don't do spring training, and so we'll start that Monday earlier.
Yeah, you get a week earlier.
And so that's when we'll start. So it's about three more weeks after we get back from 4th of July week, and you'll hammer it into the fall.
I was talking to Ben Bergeson up at Homewood this morning. Had to call him early, trying to get in touch with old guy that's been around a long, long time up at Homewood. His son,
Bob Newton.
Bob Newton. Trying to find Bob's new number, and I finally got in touch with Bob. But I said, Ben, what we're doing? He said, 7-on-7. We're at it hot and heavy, and told him, you know, he's got a son that's a pretty good wrestler.
Is that right?
Yes, sir. And I told him, I said, we're going to get little Ben on here pretty soon.
Good.
Because Mark is our guru when it comes to wrestling on PSR. And he said, boy, he would love that. So
That'd be great. I'd love
to. Yeah, we'll get him on here pretty soon, too. But, of course, we're we're in the Legend series right now during the summer. And so I was going to see if Bob.
That'd be a great one.
But he said, Coach Rick, they coming to get me. And we go into the lake, and I'm just going to lay out in that lake, and they're going to have to pull me out. Bob is he's a quite a character, but what a heck of a football coach,
man.
An even better man.
He really is. I played against him when I was coach at Fairhope a couple of times. They knocked us out of the playoffs, I think two or three times, but every time it was a great ball game. Had class kids and I don't think anybody taught inside zone quite as well as Bob could do it. He was one of the best I ever seen at teaching zone blocking scheme with offensive linemen.
Isn't it amazing how far we've come now when you talk about the inside zone and people us talking, we're trying to run a play between that guard and tackle or the guard and center, wherever we can get it. But there's nobody that taught it better than those guys at Homewood.
You're right.
And they ran it with perfection. They had a Davis kid that was a running back.
Steven.
I'm telling you, he was something else.
And then if they didn't give it to him, they had a kid named Gargis that played quarterback.
That's Phil's son.
Yes, it is. And I mean, he was a player.
Yeah.
But they had some good players, but they had great coaches, great program, class act all the way around.
Yeah, anytime you went toe-to-toe with Homewood or Vestavia or Mountain Brook or Hoover, I mean, you knew you were in for a battle. And so that over-the-mountain football, boy, when it came. You know, for so long, you could look inside. You could go out to Carol Cox, Phil's old buddy, Phil Lazenby's buddy from Howard College in those days. Yeah. Carol Cox had those, man, you're talking about unbelievable size kids.
Huge.
Out at
they went from hash mark to hash mark when they went two tight ends.
I'm telling you right now, and it's Jess Lanier, but now it's Bessemer High School. When you played those cats over there, it was dark. The lights were not very good, and they used the darkest football you could.
With those purple jerseys.
And you couldn't find it. Just couldn't find the football. But, yeah, I'm sure 7-on-7 now. We have some OTAs, though. Somebody brought a question up to me about, Coach, explain OTAs. I said, I'll tell you what, you listen to us on Saturday. I'm going to get Mark to do that because he's more up to date on OTAs. I certainly know what it is, but tell them what OTAs are.
OTAs, like, you marry up with another school.
Right.
Come to one of the, either you, they come to your place or you go to theirs, and you basically run a practice.
Yeah.
You have a practice. You have Indy period. You have Skelly period. You have team period. You go through everything, but in the practice, there's competition.
Yeah.
So when you have, like, Indy O-line and Indy D-line, that's individual period.
Yeah.
And when you have those guys working just their specific position, they'll take that offensive lineman and he's working pass drops or whatever, and the defensive lineman is working pass rush. And so you get a one-on-one drill live against another team, which adds to the excitement of the whole thing. But then you bring them to group period, you do an inside run period. So it's basically practice with another team.
Yeah.
And it's really great.
And there's no pads.
No pads,
all right.
No.
Now, I want to ask you something. Spider pads. Are you familiar with spider pads?
Is that the one that goes across? They're like they're on your shoulders.
Yeah.
Kind of protect them. And they also are wearing the things across your helmet. It's like a pad that goes over the top of your helmet.
But if I'm not mistaken, spider pads are not legal in the summer.
I don't think so. Not that I know of. I've not seen any, so I don't really know.
I've seen some. I know that some schools have been notified that you can't wear those spider pads. You better turn yourself in real quick.
Yeah, because if you're putting some kind of pads on, means you're starting to hit a little
bit. That's right.
And you want to do it as physical as you can without hitting one another.
Well,
however you do that, it's kind of –
And for coaches out there listening in the Mobile Baldwin County areas, do not put spider pads on because they are not legal. I got that straight from the state office. They are not legal. I happen to see – a team with spider pads on, and it had the date on it, on social media.
Mm.
And so I immediately said, that's not right. You know who I called. So I called him first and said, I'm not sure about that because that's a new thing.
I think it is. I haven't seen that, so I really can't speak
so
intelligently.
Well, so I found out spider pads are not legal. So that's something we need to make sure that our coaches are well aware of. And coaches are hard at it. I mean, it's now.
Coaches working now, telling you.
It's and boy, we got, you open up the season with one of the top high school quarterbacks in the country for his age group in Gunnar Rivers.
Gunnar Rivers, he's a really good quarterback. I mean, he's like a coach on the field. I mean, I think since the day he was born, he'd been watching film. And so he already knows pretty much every, he's pre-snap, he's already got his read pretty much. He knows what he's doing. He's been the starting quarterback. It's be his third or fourth year as starting quarterback, and he's just going to be a junior.
Wow.
And he's a good one. He's a good quarterback, and he does a good job for them there. And so he'll be tough to handle.
Matter of fact, in our Legend Series today, Gunnar Rivers' grandfather Steve Rivers is going to be our
one of the best coaches this state's ever seen.
Yeah, we're going to visit with Steve when it comes to Legend time. When you hear that music, you know what that means. It means we got to get out of here and take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Michael Knapp, the head basketball coach at UMS Wright. He's going to bring us up to date on what's going on. We want to really talk to him about one of his former players, most valuable player in the, I guess, National Invitational Tournament or whatever it's called today. Right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. This segment presented by Green & Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Press Sports Report. A couple of reminders. This afternoon at 4 o'clock, you can catch the funniest lady on radio, Jolene Roxbury. If you miss her this afternoon, catch her in the morning before you get ready and go to church, 7 o'clock. You're in there getting ready to go to 8:30 service. Turn on FM Talk 106.5 and listen to the funniest lady in radio. Jolene Roxbury will knock your socks off. I can promise you that. You know, June is generally the month that basketball takes over. And, Mark, I think it's a great thing that that basketball is able to take that month of June and really get some work done. And everybody should be focused on basketball. Wanted to talk to Michael Knapp, UMS Wrighthead basketball coach, about that this morning. Coach, good afternoon, good morning, whatever it is. And
afternoon for me and you, morning for those listening.
There you go. Let's talk just a little bit about what's been going on at UMS Wright with basketball. I know you've had a full month of June, and even saw one of the guys that I know holds you in highest of esteems, as do I. And talk a little bit about Trey Bonham. But first, let's talk about what's been going on the month of June for your guys there at UMS Wright.
It's been a full 4 weeks, Coach. We, we're allowed to compete during the window that closed last Saturday. We're allowed to compete in three of those 4 weeks. So we did not compete the week of Memorial Day. But after that, it was full steam ahead. We went to team camps at University of Alabama and at Auburn University and at Huntington College, and we played at 2 days at Saraland High School, and we went up to a day at Reed State and Evergreen as well. So that was just our high school. I won't get into what all the middle school did, but they were busy too. So we played 21 summer games, had a great time, got to know this team really well, and really excited about what we're going to have on the court this season.
Well, since Birmingham Southern closed, and you guys used to go to Birmingham Southern every year, I sure am glad to know that you're going to Huntington College.
So Coach Zach Richards, who had an outstanding season there this year, took them to the national tournament.
Right,
won their conference tournament. You know, he was Coach Chris Graves' assistant at Birmingham Southern for, man, I don't know, 8-9 years, and then before BSC closed down, he actually got that job at Huntington, and it just worked out that next summer. You know, he had the opportunity to kind of take over that market, and has done an outstanding job running that team camp in the summer. And it's somewhere that me and a lot of my buddies in my coaching circle, we look forward to kind of reuniting there every summer.
That's a good thing. That's good for our school. And I'm thank you for being there. I mean that. That's a special place to a lot of us. Any surprises? Any surprises this summer that as you go through the shot clock thing is something I'm still puzzled about. Where are we with that?
So it's going to kind of continue this season like it was last year. It's still optional. The one change, I believe this is true. I think some of that still has to maybe get voted on, Coach, but I think you could use it in area play if the whole area agreed to it. I don't see that as being something that many areas do, but you could do that. It will still not be part of postseason play, but it's my understanding that this will be the last year that it is not part of postseason play. So it is something that's coming, and you know, it's something that coaches and schools need to go ahead and invest in and start getting acclimated to, because it's going to be part of our game moving forward.
So we're going to have two timekeepers now. We're going to have a clock and a, 30-second clock?
35 for us, yep. That's right.
Wow. There's going to be a lot of schools, and you know some of them. I mean, you coached in the Birmingham and the metro area right outside there, and you know there's going to be some schools that just can't afford to do that.
Well, you know, it's an extra – it's not as much as having the regular timekeeper. The officials charge less than that. You know what you're talking about, Coach, though, is $40, I think, is what they charged this year for, what do you play, 12 home games?
Yeah.
So, you know, you're talking about a $400 or $500 season-long expense. you're talking about, you know, at $10 ticket prices, you're talking about 50 tickets.
Right.
You know, over the course of the whole season. So, you know, it is an expense, but, you know, other sports have it, and they pay for it, and we'll have to find a way to make it work.
Well, I'm going to tell you what PSR is going to do. When Michael Knapp needs that $500, PSR is going to pay that.
I got the guy for you to call. I can give you his number as soon as the show's over to get that rolling.
Well, we'll get that done. And
the PSR
and
shot clock.
We might call it the Mark Lester slowdown shot clock.
Hey, how about this? How about every violation we get?
Yeah.
We can call that the PSR shot clock violation.
That'd be nice.
Oh, boy, I don't know. We might just be anonymous on that. But we want to do that. I want to do that. That's just something that's special. You know how special that school is to us here, and want to do that. Let's talk about going forward. New players, anything new?
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that.
Well, we graduated four seniors, yeah. And they were four kids who played together and in our program for a long time. But man, we had a lot of other players. Actually, our two leading scorers are returning. Now that sounds compelling, but I think we had five players average between 8 and 11 points a game last year. So
wow.
We were pretty balanced. But the top two in those, DJ Dials, and Jake Pilger will both be back in the backcourt for us this year, and both had outstanding summers. You know, DJ actually got the coach's tour at Huntington, and I think they're going to be recruiting him this season, so I'm excited for him for that. I can't think of a better place for him to end up.
That'd be a great
if that
place.
Works out.
Yeah.
You know, and we've got two other seniors, Hayes Howard and Jay Klott, that will come in with Parker Crabtree. And that's a solid senior group, but we've got some good players coming up, Coach. We're going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, Pilger's a young guy that's been there a long time, and I'm sure he's maturing and getting kind of playing that one spot that is he may be as good as anybody around by the time he's a senior.
Well, and the surprise of the summer for us was really his younger brother Blake, who's going to be a ninth grader, who basically started for us all summer and was really incredible.
Yeah, he's a good player. That's just a good family, basketball family. I'm telling you, that's good stuff. Well, I know that you've had camps, and I saw a familiar face. I saw Trey Bonham was there. Talk a little bit about Trey and what's going on with Trey now.
Well, Trey, I was talking with him about a month ago, and I was like, hey, we got our – I ask him every year, and he's always just been, you know, too busy with his work up there. But I said, man, can you work camp this summer? And he said, Coach, you know what? I'm actually free that week, and I would love to. So we got Trey Bonham in as one of our coaches at the UMS Wright Skills Academy, and it was fantastic. I mean, just to see those kids light up when he walked in the gym that first day, it was remarkable. So he's doing awesome. He's had workouts with a couple of NBA teams this summer and hopeful to get into the summer league out in Las Vegas that starts up in a couple of weeks. Potentially get a G League contract. And if none of that shakes out, he's going to have opportunities to play in Europe and have some contacts in, I think he said Spain and France were kind of the top two right now, but Italy and then his old stomping grounds of Japan also in play. He's going to be playing professional basketball next year is the short answer. And no telling where it'll go from there, Coach. Nothing that kid could do would surprise me.
Well, and I know how you followed him. You followed him all the way through, of course, at VMI, and then he went to actually signed with Florida in the portal, and then ends up at Chattanooga. And I'm calling it the NIT, and I'm thinking that's what it still is. But
it's still the NIT.
And and he's the most valuable player as Chattanooga wins the NIT. What a great run they had
in the
postseason. What,
you know, and don't forget he still has an SEC record that he set that season at Florida for most threes made in a game without a miss. When he led Florida over Florida State and went 7 for 7 from the three-point line.
Wow. I forgot about
SEC.
That.
That's right.
He's in the SEC record books from that one season at Florida. And then, of course, finished out, you know, as a all-SOCON player both years at Chattanooga and the NIT MVP. Just a great exclamation point on a tremendous college career.
And, boy, did not he worked his fanny off to get better at that three-point shot, didn't he, Mike?
He did. You know, he was a 33, 32% three-point shooter in high school, and finished in the, you know, right in the low 40s this season, and just really a lights-out shooter.
Mike, thank you for taking some time out to talk to us about basketball. You're our go-to basketball guy. We certainly appreciate it. I hope you have a great summer. I hope your family has a great summer. Enjoy your time off, because next day, it seems like tomorrow, you'll be going right back to school and to work, pal.
You got it, Coach. Always appreciate PSR and what you guys do for us.
Take care. God bless. That's Michael now. I'm going to tell you something. What I learned from him about basketball was amazing. And I mean, he is one heck of a basketball coach. And a great guy at that. Hey, when we return, we'll go all the way around Alabama and see what's going on with high school sports. Right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Brought to you by Alpha Insurance. The Boudreaux's Cajun Grill communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Now, back to the show.
Hey, that's Michael McDonald and those guys taking it to the streets. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know if I'll ever get to see them again. I mean, they're just making tour after tour all over America. And they are something special. And we love having them on right here on PSR. Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. We try to go all around the state, but we're going to talk about a couple of athletes here, Mark, that have really been outstanding the last couple of years. But before we do that, I want to talk about somebody who's really been outstanding in our community, and that's Premier Collision. You know, you and I had a chance to go by and just chat with those folks for just a minute. And, boy, every time you walk in there, you go in Premier Collision, you see Chris, or you see Kim, his wife, or you see Tyler, and those guys are working hard trying to make everybody's vehicles come out like your vehicles came out when they left there. I mean, you
brand new looking.
I'm just telling you, they make them look like brand new, and they clean them up inside, outside, fix all the little boo-boos that have happened. And when you leave there, you just get that good old, like I've been to a family reunion feeling.
It really is a good feeling. You know that your car is being taken care of by people who care about you and your car. And, you know, it's just you can't hardly – beat that, because you're going to spend some money in there, and you know it needs to be taken care of. And when it gets done, and they let you know all the way through what's going on, what they're doing, what they had to do to this or that, and just keep you up to date. And it feels so good when you drive your car out of there, you know, and it's been taken care of, and it looks like it, like Chris always says, it just drove off the showroom floor, you know.
You know, and there's things going on in that business, and really want to emphasize this. You know, if your insurance people aren't the ones to tell you where to take your car, you take your car where you want to take your car.
That's right.
And when you have the opportunity to take your car to Premier Collision, you most certainly want to take it there, because I can promise you that, you know, and a lot of times it takes a little bit longer because you can't get parts in. You can't get the things you want. And you know, that's why our buddies at Auto World are staying so busy. And, of course, that's another one of our sponsors, and we appreciate everything that they do at Auto World. But, you know, just keeping those parts and all the things that you need to repair your car, it's just an amazing amount of work that goes into that. And Chris and the guys there at Premier Collision do an amazing job. Give them a call, 251-478-4500. And I can assure you that when you leave there, you're going to feel like you've been to a family reunion, and you're going home now in a brand new spanking car, or as it seems, because it is back to new.
That's right.
And that's the way they treat you. So we appreciate everything that they do for us as well. You know, Mark, we've had some outstanding performances this spring, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention a young lady from St. Paul's, a young lady by the name of Janie Ford. 20 individual state titles over her career, 3 heptathlon crowns, back-to-back Mobile Challenge of Champions Outstanding Performer Awards, and those those don't come easy. Those aren't just from student athletes in Alabama. Challenge of Champions comes from all over the Southeast.
Correct.
And Janie Ford has been the outstanding performer back-to-back years. She's a Gatorade Female Track and Field Athlete of the Year. She has, I think, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm almost 100% sure of that, she can also claim the AL.com Coastal Female Athlete of the Year awards. And not only that, Green and Phillips gives a female athlete our Track and Field Athlete of the Year award, and Janie Ford has won that. Boy, she is some kind of athlete. She signed with Vanderbilt. She ended her career with four individual wins at the AHSAA Class 7A Outdoor State Championships. She has state records in the long jump, in the 300-meter hurdles, and the 200. She also won the 100-meter hurdles. And 11 days later, Janie Ford broke her own heptathlon record by scoring 5,300 points.
Good grief.
And she ran the 800. Listen to this. The 800 in 2 minutes and 10 seconds.
Gosh.
I'm telling you right now.
That's going around that track in a great big hurry.
That's just unbelievable. You know, and when you watch a student athlete like Janie Ford, think about all the work she's put in. Now, she's not only just good in hurdles. She's good in everything. And how do you dominate a field, a sport like track and field, when you have to do the heptathlon and she runs, wins it going away? It's just amazing.
And it's, I mean, those athletes are amazing,
yeah.
What they can do, because they throw the discus, they do the high jump, they do the hurdles, they do a half a mile run. I don't know what all things they do, but – they do a lot of different events, and they have to be good at all of them. And, they take their – there's usually those athletes have one or two or three of those events where they're going to be the top in the state. And you're not going to – they're going to win it. They're going to win that event. But then they have to be really good at other events. So they have to be some of the most well-rounded athletes in the state of Alabama. And I will say this. I was reading something else about – track and field athletes. I was reading today, there was a kid from Huntsville,
right?
Eric Moore, who was the Huntsville Times Male Athlete of the Year. But the thing about it says, the opening line of the phrase says, "In perhaps the loneliest of all sports, running." And you got to think about it. It is true. Those kids spend hours and hours and hours running by themselves. Granted, they're with their team a lot, too.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of time spent on their own, and the motivation comes from within. And then being able to compete as young man, the driving success behind Eric Moore from his coach, Blake Boren, said he wanted to perform for his team. He wanted to make sure that his team's success was a result of the things that he did, and he helped his team succeed, and that was one of his motivating forces.
And I never was really big into track because I despised running.
I never was real high on
but,
it. No.
But let me tell you, these kids Pat Galley and those coaches do such a tremendous job. Janie Ford's mom was her coach, and she followed Jim Tate, who was Jim Tate and Pat Galley probably –
the best that's ever done the
ever
job,
done it
ever
in done high it. School. And so just wanted to recognize her. Now, for the second straight year, we've got a young lady across the bay from Daphne High School, a softball pitcher by the name of Vic Moten. And she's won one of the highest honors in softball. She was named the 2025 Alabama Gatorade Softball Player of the Year. And she was a dominant force in the circle. You don't call it on the mound in softball. They're in the circle. In the circle. And she had 38 wins this year in softball. They went to the 7A state softball tournament. She was 23-4 in the circle. Listen to her earned run average, 0.79.
Hard to get a run across the plate.
I'm telling you right now. An outstanding player, and Mark, you're going to be happy with this. Where do you think she'll be pitching next year?
Alabama.
For Coach Patrick Murphy. That's exactly right. And boy. Now, as a junior, she led Daphne to the 7A state championship game in a runner-up finish. She became the first Daphne player to win the Alabama Gatorade Softball Player of the Year. She's won it back-to-back, and just as Janie Ford has done in track and field. She was also Miss Softball by the Alabama Sports Writers Association. And don't think Patrick Murphy's not excited about getting Vic Moten there.
No doubt.
But, boy, Mark, how far have we come in young lady softball?
Oh, man. It's wonderful to see, because nowadays you can turn on the TV. You know, used to you could never find a softball game.
Yeah.
Now you can turn it on just about any time of the day, any time during the spring, and they'll have somebody somewhere on TV playing softball.
Yeah.
And that is just a result of the great job that's being done in high schools across this country in making sure that we press and put these girls out there in the press, on the radio, on TV, in the newspaper, and let them know, hey, we see you. We recognize what you're doing, because it is a great sport to watch. I love watching softball. Them girls get after it so hard, and I still wouldn't play third base for any softball team.
Boy, isn't that something?
Man, no, there's no way. That hot corner, that's a hot corner for a reason.
And sometimes they're in close, expecting a bunt.
And they slap it.
They slap it at them. It's unbelievable. You know, we got some really outstanding softball coaches. You and Randy did a tremendous job a couple of weeks ago with Coach Scarborough.
That was fantastic. That was a great interview.
Talking about now the new McGill softball coach. Baker High School has been known for years and years for their baseball and softball programs.
Correct.
But my goodness gracious alive, I'm being transparent here. If there's a college baseball game on, and it's somebody other than Auburn or Alabama, and there's a college softball game on anywhere in the country, I'm going to watch the college softball game. The women's softball game, to me, is more entertaining.
It moves faster.
Golly, it's something.
It moves faster.
It is.
The game is faster. To me, it's more enjoyable. I enjoy watching it. I really do.
And the way that ball moves, I mean, they make it go up, down, out, and around.
I don't know how they do it.
It's just unbelievable. And there's some really outstanding youth coaches in girls softball around our area. We're really blessed to have some volunteers that just really – and you know, there was one girl in the College World Series who pitched every game for her team, and I can't remember if it was – it wasn't Oklahoma. It may have been a team that finished runner-up. I can't remember which one it was, but she pitched every game. She's from Texas Tech. She's also a million-dollar NIL girl.
Good.
Yeah. So she's something special, something real special. I can't imagine pitching every game in the College World Series. Hey, when we come back, it's going to be the leadership segment, and we got some things to throw at Mark to let him figure them out. And I promise you, he'll give you some good answers right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Hey, for you folks in Sylacauga, Steve Rivers coming up at 6 o'clock. I'm sorry, at 9 o'clock on the Legend Series right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to the show.
Look out behind you, JoJo's got his gun.
Oh, me, Mark, why do we always? That's Mark's song.
It is. I can't help it.
You know, we can get Boz Skaggs singing about Watch Your Back. Yeah, that's pretty cool. They're so lucky to have that music that is still with us at their age. Steely Dan, Boz Skaggs, Michael McDonald, and those guys. And, boy, there won't be any PSR if there's not any Boz Skaggs or Steely Dan or Michael McDonald. That's where we are. You know, Mark, one of the people that's really jumped on board and trying to do everything they can to help high school sports is Integrity, integritypros.com. And that's Dale Falkenberry. She's a retired teacher and coach at Murphy High School. She's been in this business, in the roofing business, for 19 years. They've been a Nappy finalist, I think, for the last two or three years for the best roofing contractor in Mobile. And we certainly appreciate everything that Integrity Roof Pros does for us here at PSR, but more so for what they do for the citizens of Mobile and Baldwin counties. If you've got roofing problems, I can give you my word on the integrity of one Dale Falkenberry that I promise you that she will be as fair and honest and do a wonderful job. She did it for our son-in-law in Daphne. She did his roof and just did a wonderful job. And I can tell you right now, I can tell you more than five or six families that have had Integrity Roofing do their job, and it's something they're mighty proud of and appreciate the job that they did. You can be in touch with them at 251-604-6835. You know, Mark, when we talk about high school sports, and as an athletic director, and that's where we try to go when we're talking about leadership, and we certainly appreciate GoPest for everything that GoPest does for us here in Mobile and Baldwin counties. And if you're having pest issues, give them a call. They will certainly do everything they can to eliminate all the pests that you're having to deal with. You know, Mark, there's three P's when you talk about leadership. And those three P's often surface sometimes when we don't want them to. And that's problems, that's people, and that's politics. And of those three things, which one do you think causes the most problems for leadership in education?
Leadership.
And particularly in athletics.
Say them again. What are the three? Problems.
People, problems, and politics.
It's a close race between politics and people.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to say politics.
Well, that's funny that you say that, because I said people. So I'm going to go in that direction, and we'll talk politics another day, because boy, we could really go in politics. We got to get Randy involved when we start talking about the politics.
Lord, don't get Randy involved. He gets way too worked up.
He does do that. You know, there's difficult people everywhere. No matter what you do, no matter what business there is, you can't avoid them. They can be students. They can be coaches. They can be parents. Or they can be members of the community. And they don't go away with graduation. And they do not necessarily go away with coaching changes. There always seems to be someone else to take his or her place. And developing a strategy is a much better way of dealing with difficult people. And often the most difficult people that we meet are who?
I don't know.
The parents. You agree with that?
Yeah.
Yeah. These meetings are some of the most difficult meetings that we have, because parents have a hard time being objective about their own children. How do you deal with a parent who says, my son's a better linebacker than the kid you got playing linebacker, and if he's not playing, we need to move?
Then maybe you need to move. I mean, it's a real simple.
Yeah.
You don't want it to be that way, and I don't want it to come to that.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, as a coach, you were hired for that position.
Yeah.
It would be insane for a coach to go out and play a kid who is not as good as another boy behind him.
Right.
That, because the world tells us you're paid to win games. That's what the world tells us. That's not really the whole crux
right.
of the matter.
Yeah.
But that's what they tell you. You're supposed to win games.
Yeah.
So if you're supposed to win games, why would you not play the best player at each position? Now, it is your job as the coach to evaluate that talent, decide this is the guy who I think is best. He brings more to the table, period. Sometimes you have to be just downright honest with a parent who draws the line in the sand like that, because once they've drawn it, that's their fault. If they've drawn the line in the sand, and then there's time to get the rebuttal that they need to get which is whatever the truth of the matter is.
And I very rarely disagree with you, but I disagree with you right there because you said sometimes. I think all the time you have to be downright honest with them.
I do too, but I think there's sometimes I don't want to be brutally honest with a guy who's if he's not ready to play, he's not ready.
Right.
All right. I'm not going to say he's not as good a player. He's just not ready yet.
Yeah.
He may be ready in a year or 2 years, but he's not ready yet. I don't want to beat the young man up or mom and dad up and make him feel like he can't play. But I have to be. You have to be right in what you say and right in what you know and be able to lay it out there in a way that they understand. And yet being honest, but not, I don't want to be brutal with my decision about what I tell them.
You want to be kind and tenderhearted.
Right.
And sometimes you can't be that.
True.
Sometimes you can't be that. So my son is a senior. He's a starting linebacker. Two previous years, started as a sophomore, as a junior, comes in as a senior. He's backed up on that second team. You got a young 10th grader who's come in, and he's pretty doggone good. Pretty doggone good. And you watch him practice every day. You watched him play JV games for a year. I call you. How do you go about dealing with that? First of all, how do you set up a meeting, and what is that meeting like?
First of all, the parent, if they want to talk to you about something like that, it needs to be done face-to-face.
Right.
I'm not going to do it over the phone.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to. I just feel like you get more done when you're face-to-face. So hopefully if it's not hostile. Now, if it's a hostile deal, then I'm not going to have the meeting at
right.
all. You know, I'm just there's no sense in it. You're not going to get anything done. But at that point, I would have to say, you know, let's get together. Let's talk about what's going on and say, this is what I see. This is what's happened.
Yeah.
You know? This young man, this 10th grade kid, has come in. He's outplayed him.
Yeah.
He's outplayed him, and I hate it. You know, maybe we need to find another place on the field for him to play or whatever, because right now he's been beat out for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Now, then can you go back and look and say, can you say, well, he didn't do as much in the off season. He didn't do this. Or is this kid just flat better?
Yeah.
And that sometimes happens.
Yeah.
It does. And when it does, you have to lay it out there and say, that's where we are right now, and I want him to be a part of this team. This is part of learning how to live in the world that we're going to live in.
Right.
Sometimes things don't go the way you want it to.
Yeah.
And you have to make a hard decision. What is that decision going to be? Am I going to take my ball and go home or go play somewhere else? Or am I going to say, okay, coach, what do we do?
Yeah.
You know?
So what you have done, and I've seen you do it. You move that player to a different position and use his experience to make you a better football team and leave the other guy right where he is because he's a better player.
That's right.
Right now. Let's go through that. So a parent comes to you after a game, says, I want to know why my son's not playing.
First of all, we're not going to talk after a ball game. We're going to wait until Saturday or Sunday, probably I'm going to wait until Sunday. I don't want to do it the day after. I want to spend some time with my family.
Yeah.
But I'll meet with them on Sunday, and they can tell me anything, because we're not going to do anything before then.
Right.
So after a ball game is not a time to ever approach a coach, ever.
So as an athletic director, if you call the athletic director and says, I want a meeting, as an athletic director, I'm always going to say, have you talked to Coach Lassiter first?
Exactly.
And then if they say, we've met and we're at an impasse, then as an athletic director, we'll set up a meeting and go from there.
That's
good stuff, Mark. Really good stuff. Hey, when we return, you don't want to miss this. One of the finest high school football coaches in the history, state of Alabama. From Sylacauga, Alabama, Steve Rivers. Yep, that's Phillip's dad and Gunner's granddad. But I'm going to tell you this. Have to go a long way to find a finer athlete than Steve Rivers. We'll talk to Steve when we return to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, and the Legend Series continues.
Coming to you live, the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter.
And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to the second hour of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Mark Lassiter, Rick Cleveland here. Randy Bergen's on assignment this morning, but you can catch him on the Southern Fairways. What is it, Steve?
Southern Fairways Sports Radio Show.
Southern Fairways Sports Radio. So he's going into all other sports now. Yeah, he is. So we got him set up too, didn't we? We gave him the magazine that should carry him throughout the rest of the, you know, the rest of the sport.
Best segment I've heard still is the fishing segment.
That's the best one.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago, and that guy caught a bass on that thing. We're out there fishing.
While y'all were on the air.
While we were on the air, he says, hang on, we got one on.
That's funny. That's funny. You know, Mark, this may be, you may have to take over this segment because 25 years of doing PSR, 46 years of coaching. We've been doing this legend series for the last 10. This may be the toughest one for me to be because this was my childhood hero.
That's right.
I mean, he was Mr. Everything in mine, and my daddy Buttercup recognized that real early on. It's a great privilege for us here at Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report to have Steve Rivers. He retired from coaching football in 2006. I think he retired too early. Terry Curtis and I talked about that a lot, but he did it for a good reason. Son was drafted by the San Diego Chargers, and that's what he and Joan wanted to do. They wanted to watch Philip play.
Yep.
I think you and I would have probably done the same
probably
thing.
So.
Welcome to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Steve Rivers, thank you for taking time out of a busy day in retirement to chat with us and to talk about the coaching career of a guy that I have the highest esteem for.
Well, thank you so much, Rick, for having me, and looking forward to visiting with y'all.
You know, I want to talk just a little bit about Sylacauga because we are heard there. That's our home. It'll always be our home. You and I grew up right there on right off of Spring Street. I still think about, golly, those days and watching you play football, watching you play basketball, and maybe being one of the best tennis players that ever played in Sylacauga. I can tell you that. And
I don't know about that. I
do.
I played at it.
Yeah, I do. Talk a little bit about your youth, Steve, because that brings great memories. Mark Lassiter here, formerly head coach at Childersburg at one time.
Correct.
And so talk just a little bit about growing up in Sylacauga, Alabama.
Well, it was my dad wasn't with me and my mom very much. He was in and out of my life. And but Sylacauga was a good place for me. I didn't fish, didn't hunt because my mother raised me. I didn't have any brothers and sisters, so if it didn't bounce, I didn't know how to channel it. So, when living on Elm Street, South Elm Street, I know you know where that is.
Absolutely.
The dead end.
Yeah.
Was close to the parks, the tennis courts especially. So, it was great. It was good for me. A lot of good neighbors. Hickory Circle and all those places where we used to go and hang out with some good folks, good guys and good girls. It was a good place to grow up in.
Well, your mama was always my daddy loved Miss Lois, and we all did. She was, and somehow the Clevelands and the Rivers are kin down the road, and just good people and. As watching you as a youngster, and I was really young, but watching you play games, no matter what the game was, you may have been, I'm not sure, but pretty close to one of the most passionate, fiercest competitors in every game you played, no matter what it was or where it was. Where did that come from?
I'd have to agree with you. Well, I'll tell you a little bit. I mentioned my dad, and he wasn't with my mother and me very long, but for a while he was, when I was about 8 or 9 or 10, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And he brought a door home one time, and they put some doors together and made a ping pong table out of it. And he was a good athlete. My dad was.
Yeah.
At least everybody tells me that. Anyway, he put that ping pong table together. We had it outside. Didn't always
bounce right because it's the door. It wasn't a flat door either. But anyway, he would get ahead of me. I would get ahead. He would let me get ahead of him 10 to 2, something like that. And he'd beat me every time. And I wore that end of my table out, hitting that paddle on the end of it so much. So I got to say that's one place where I got my competitiveness with my dad, even the short time he was around us. Yeah. So anyway, that's one of the things. But, hey, I didn't like to lose at anything. But
right.
You have to be able to handle it. And we had some losses along the way and had some big wins too. So it was all good.
People that, and we're talking to Steve Rivers, retired high school football coach, father of Philip, grandfather of Gunner, and got a wife that's pretty doggone competitive too. I'm not so sure Joan's not more competitive than you are.
She's pretty, yeah, she's real competitive. And she was a swimmer, but she's real competitive. And she was just talking just this week sometime about her and her dad watching the football game in Notre Dame in Alabama. Was playing, and she was pulling for Alabama, and she was about 10 or 11, and her dad was pulling for Notre Dame, and it just about, and then Alabama beat Notre Dame, Notre Dame beat Alabama right at the end.
Right.
And her dad, who we call Papa, he started marching around the room in the house singing the Notre Dame fight song, and she was somewhere hiding and fussing and carrying on about how she couldn't stand that Alabama got beat. So yeah, she's a pretty fiery competitor too.
I think Philip told me one time that she burned that candle pretty light too. She loved to compete like you do. So I can imagine where the kids get it from, and that's. That's something special. Of course, you have two boys. Steven played, I think, his graduate year at Vanderbilt, and now he's coaching with Philip, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, that's right. He went to LSU and graduated in 3 years, and then went to Vandy and got a good sales job, and they wanted him to move down that way to Fairhope to where Philip was, and he wanted to go that way, the family, and they. He's helping Philip in the.
Yeah.
He still got his regular job, but he loves helping Philip coaching the wide receivers, and they got a couple of good ones too.
Yeah, they do.
They really do have a couple of good ones. Well, let's talk a little bit about Tom Calvin, because I'd be remiss if we didn't talk a little bit about our coach, because he's a guy that made a whole lot of difference in both yours and my life. But I know that he's a special man to you too.
Yeah, he's one of a kind, and he was my dad when I was a teenager and growing up, the good years around Sylacauga High, and he and Miss Calvin both. Sometimes I tell people I'm not so sure who I was more nervous around, Coach Calvin or Miss Calvin. she was a go-getter too. Now she steered those girls in the right direction and coached them pretty hard, like Coach Calvin coached us. But it was always good. It was always good, positive stuff, and I loved playing for him, and I loved the man. I'm telling you, I could tell you some stories about him. It'd take too long, probably. But he's. I will tell you one quick tennis story, if you don't mind, Rick.
Yeah, do it.
May need to take a break first.
All right, let's do that. Let's take a break and come back in about 30 seconds.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Boudreaux's Cajun Grill communication line. Now, back to the show.
All right, I had to let that go a little bit because Tracy and I were, we were at the Sphere in Las Vegas and Joe Walsh was playing all that with the Eagles. And let me tell you, when he starts banging on that guitar, everybody stands up.
I bet.
I'm telling you, that's something. And that's a little different from Bob Skaggs and Steely Dan.
It's still good stuff.
We're visiting with Steve Rivers on the Legend Series. I tell this all the time. One of the finest athletes I ever saw in my life. High school coach, great in Alabama. Alabama Hall of Fame, Alabama High School Athletic Association Hall of Fame in 2015, Morgan County Hall of Fame 2008. He's a Decatur Daily Football Coach of the Year there, five times, head football coach at Pelham, Decatur, Athens, and Wakefield, North Carolina. And he's going to tell us a story about Coach Calvin in tennis, and I can't wait to hear it.
Well, yeah, okay. Of course, I played football and basketball, and Coach Calvin expected all his football players to run track. And I especially needed to run track because I wasn't very fast. I swear Philip got his speed. So I don't know what year it was, but I think it was before my junior year. I told Coach Calvin, I'm not going to play. I'm not going to run track this year. I'm going to play tennis. Of course, tennis and football, that kind of doesn't go together, really, when you stop to think about stuff. But anyway, he said, oh, you are? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, you know what happened? I thought I was going to get a little break from Coach Calvin because he was a track coach. But he said, you know what? They've asked me to take the tennis team. And so I said, okay. So he said, the first practice is Monday. I said, okay. So I went to practice that Monday, and I was the last one to get there. There's about 10 of us that play tennis. You remember them all, Tommy Porter, yeah. Charlie Lane, and all those guys. They all had their rackets, and Coach Calvin hadn't gotten there yet. I walked up, and I didn't have my racket. They said, what's the deal? Where's your racket? I said, boys, Coach Calvin's coaching us. You ain't going to need your racket today. They said, what do you mean? And I said, just believe me, you're not going to need your racket. And they laid them down, and sure enough, we did agility drills out there on that tennis court for about 45 minutes and then ran sprints up and down the tennis court. You never hit a tennis ball. Oh, my goodness, I'm running track anyway.
and you know, the funny thing about that, you know, in your day, Coach Calvin ran the state tennis tournament right there on our Ruby Cole courts in Sylacauga, if I'm not mistaken.
Man, yeah, and he ran it with a bullhorn.
He did. and some great players there now. Charlie Owens from Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, and great players. And he didn't put up with nothing at all.
No,
not anything.
I'm telling you.
But
he was good, and then he did just what a tennis coach should do. And I know you do a lot more with what you tennis people. You've won so many championships, but he didn't know any more about tennis. You know, he was just there to make sure we did the best we could do and make us work hard. But it was wonderful. I loved having him around. But,
yeah.
We won the state championship. Charlie and I did that my senior year. I want to say that we beat McGill Toulon in that tournament, that state tournament in Sylacauga. And I know McGill Toulon's won so many state championships and everything, but that just kind of rings a bell with me. I don't know why.
You did, and you beat a Daphne City Councilman right now named Steve Olin, and who is an attorney here in Mobile. But, yeah, you sure did. And Charlie, boy, and his daddy Julio was right there every time y'all played, wasn't he? I can promise.
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah.
Good people.
Yeah, he's good folks.
So, Steve, talk a little bit as we go in through this coaching thing. Of course, Pelham, you were there a couple of years, and then you went to Decatur, and you spent a long time at Decatur, I think, what, maybe 14, 15 years.
Yeah.
And talk a little bit about that. I think you went there with Earl Webb, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, to Decatur. Yeah, I was with Coach Webb as an assistant for 7 years.
Right.
And after the seventh year, he called me, went down to the office one day and said, you want to try to be a head coach? And I said, well, I have that aspiration. And he said, well, there's a job opening at Pelham High School. and this is the truth. I said, where is that? Because it was a brand new school.
Yeah,
right. The year before, the first year they had football, it went 0-10 and the coach got relieved. But so I went to Pelham. I got that job. I went to Pelham, and it was good for me to get another program, get the program off the ground, because I was at Decatur, where tradition was so rich, it was easy to coach if you just worked hard. Then I went to Coach Webb retired and became assistant principal at Decatur, and I was fortunate enough to get to come back to Decatur and after 2 years at Pelham. And we were about 500 at Pelham those 2 years I was there. Made some strides, but Decatur was calling. I love Decatur. Of course, it's Jones' hometown. So yep. We came back, and I was a head coach for 15 years. We didn't win a state championship, won a bunch of region championships, but couldn't get over that hump. Get to the quarterfinals, and somebody from Birmingham or Gadsden or somewhere would get us. So if I'd have done a little better job, we might could have done something better. But anyway, we won a bunch of games, and it was fun,
yeah.
And then went to Athens, and that was just, in all honesty, Rick, it was a coach's ego. Athens had contacted me, and their coach had retired or resigned, and they wanted me to come to Athens. And gosh, I didn't think about leaving Decatur. I never did. But Philip was going to be a ninth grader, and I knew that if either in Decatur or Athens, one, wherever I went, one had to go and stay. And so we went to Athens, and it turned out good for me and for Philip in Athens. And it also worked out good for Decatur because I recommended Jerry Adcock, and he got the job, and he was the head coach there for 25 years.
So
it worked out good for a lot of folks.
You know, Coach, this is Mark. I'm Rick's sidekick in here.
Mark.
But I want to take you back to a game at Decatur. Decatur came to Milton Frank Stadium when John Meadows was the head coach at Butler High School. I actually played defensive back on that team. And I think the team was in the fall of 76 when Benny Perrin was the quarterback,
yeah.
I believe.
Yep.
And we played y'all. We played y'all that night. And I mean, had a running back by the name of Darnell Shackelford.
Darnell. I see Darnell a lot. Darnell says, hey, Coach, when are you going to get me in that Hall of Fame?
But I tell you what, Coach, that was a great football game. It was the last game I ever played. And,
really?
Decatur was a little bit better than we were. We had a really good team. They had a really good team. But I think Decatur scored in like the last 2 minutes of the game to go ahead of us. And but it was a great ball game. And when I was looking at your history, Coach, and I saw you were at Decatur, and I was fortunate enough to play for Coach Meadows back during those days, back in the 76 season.
Yeah.
And, man, y'all did a great job.
Well, thank you. Well, those were always big games with the Huntsville schools during that time of the 70s, 60s, and 70s. And the coaching was so good, and there weren't a bunch of schools, not as many schools as there are now. But, yeah, Decatur and Butler's had some big games. Butler and Decatur played for the state championship in Decatur in 71.
Yeah,
that's right.
And Decatur won late in that game too, like 7-6 or 6-0 or something. I'm not sure. I wasn't there. I mean, that was the year before I came.
Right.
Well, that's always been Decatur and Huntsville teams playing high school football games. It's also been some really great matchups. And, you know, I don't think you were there. You were retired, I would think, after Coach Calvin went to Austin. But wouldn't that have been something if you'd have had the opportunity to coach against Coach Calvin?
Oh, no, I did coach against Coach Calvin.
You did?
He was at Austin.
I was there for four years. He was at Austin. I was at Decatur. And I can tell you, when I walked out on that field the first time we played him, my palms were sweating just like they were when I was playing for him.
I bet if it was cold, he had on a short sleeve shirt too.
Oh yeah, he did. You know, and Philip was my ball boy.
I love that.
He stayed right there by my side, and so it was a big night. But Coach Calvin had a he had Greg Gilbert, remember, played linebacker at Alabama, and good running back. I can't remember his name
right now. Save that. We got to take a break. We got to get out of here. We'll be right back with Steve Rivers.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
Well, I love being Randy Bergen on Saturday morning. I'm telling you. It's like us being on the golf course.
I'm telling you.
There's some more boss gags.
Baby's into running around, hanging with the crowd. Putting your business in
putting his business in the streets. All right, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Plus Sports Report. And we are coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, as we have been doing for 25 years. And this is, of all the segments that we've had the honor to do, thousands of them, this series, this Legend series, this one right here will go down for me as very special. And Steve, let's talk just a little bit about Philip, because that is a popular name in Mobile and Baldwin counties, and what a tremendous job he's doing. And I know you and Joan have made bunches of trips here, and we'll continue to do that. But I had the opportunity doing South Alabama football and walked into the stadium there at North Carolina State. And we were playing North Carolina State, and I almost felt like I was at home because there was a Rivers picture everywhere. I'm talking about that stadium. They had man-sized pictures of Philip Rivers. And Russell Wilson was a quarterback there when we did that. Talk a little bit about Philip and his recruitment, because I always get upset. And Terry and I used to have this conversation. Why in the world Auburn offered him as a tight end? Are you kidding me?
Well, you know, listen, I'm going to defend Auburn and Alabama just a little bit. But Auburn had came from Ole Miss with him anyway.
Yeah.
Jason Campbell,
right.
Auburn had Jason Campbell under there. They knew they were going to get him. He was their ball boy at Ole Miss.
Right.
And so I think they were just, you know, they thought Jason was going to be the guy and Phillip could be a tight end or something else. And then Alabama had, I'm not sure, but they had two quarterbacks that they were in love with. And they liked Phillip a lot, but they loved those guys more. So that's the way it goes sometimes.
Yeah.
There's no hard feelings there, because Philip actually, he left early. He left in January, which was tough on all of us. But he knew that he had a chance to play there early, and he did, and played 51 straight games, and it was awesome. You know, we moved to Raleigh, and I coached another team over there in high school, but it was a good fit for Philip at the time. Can I tell you one quick story about the Auburn tight end deal?
Please do.
You know, Noah Mazzone was the offensive coordinator at Auburn at that time. And NC State hired Noah Mazzone from Auburn, or after whatever happened. I don't know what the transfer was. Anyway, he came to Auburn.
Yeah.
It was a quarterback coach. And so Philip, the first day of practice in the spring, I think, he wore number 80 out on practice field. And went to Mazzone and said, "How do I look at this? How do I look at this number?" And he was laughing because he really liked Mazzone.
Yeah.
He really liked him. And there wasn't any bad feelings at all between the two of them. In fact, they're good friends now. But that was Philip pulling that little gag on Mazzone.
Now, his head coach, if I'm not mistaken, didn't he come from Florida State?
Chuck Amato.
Okay. Who won Philip over to go to North Carolina State? How did that play out?
A coach named Joe Pate.
From Dothan.
And
Harry Joe Wayne Pate. Parrish's best friend. Yeah.
That's right. And Joe Pate Joe Pate coached at Austin at one time as an assistant.
Right.
For a couple of years, and I knew him then. I wasn't the head coach, and he wasn't either. We were both assistants. And then he went to NC State, and he started recruiting Phillip. And one day, Ricky came to our practice at Athens. We were at Athens then. And at that time, they could get out on the field. And
yeah.
He got out on the field with them. We had about three guys that they were looking at. And he got close to the huddle and listened to Phillip call the plays and watched him run the plays. We had a little, just a mini scrimmage. And he had already offered Phillip. He thought he was the right thing.
Yeah.
And so we were walking off the field, and he said, Von Webb, who's the receiver, I said, what do you think about Von? He said, yeah, I thought Von's somewhere he'll fit in, but we just not in a market for his kind of wide receiver. And I said, what about the back? Well, I don't know, something else. And he didn't. And then we just kept walking, and he didn't even mention Phillip.
Yeah.
Then we got almost off the field after practice, and I stopped, and I said, what about Phillip? And he looked at me, and he said, do you know how good he is? I said, obviously I don't. He said, he's real good. And we want him. So that's kind of how that transpired. Joe Pate, here it was. And I talked to Joe about once every couple of months or so.
Yeah.
He still lives in Raleigh.
Yeah. I think he was at Harry Wayne's funeral, if I'm not mistaken. He and Harry Wayne were really tight, best buddies.
Good guy.
Yeah, Joe Pate was a fixture around Northview for a long – I mean, he always came in, visited with us, really nice guy. I wish I'd have known that connection then, though, because I would have – shoot, I'd have stuck my chest out and said, I know those guys.
Yeah. So, well, you know, Joe also – he recruited Jericho Cotchery with Phillip. You know, he played in Birmingham.
Yep.
He wasn't bad at all either.
No, he was a pretty good high school player. Yeah. You're right.
He played the Pro Bowl in several years.
Yeah. So you go to Raleigh. You're the head coach at Wakefield High School. You had an undefeated season at Wakefield, if I'm not mistaken. I think I remember that.
Yeah, we had 11 regular season games, and we won 11. We went 11-0 my fourth year there. And we had to start a team from scratch. There were a bunch of ninth and 10th graders involved. That was brand new for me because I'd never coached anything but varsity football.
Had
a bunch of youngins. But anyway, we were 14-0, and my real good running back had about 35 TDs that year. He hurt his knee, so we didn't get to have him for the semifinals. We got beat in the semifinals of the big schools. It's a huge school now, Wakefield High School is.
Right.
And it was a special team, but. Hey, Alabama football and North Carolina high school football. No comparison.
No comparison. Yeah, that's. Hey, I've heard, not
being critical. It's
no,
just it's not as important right. as it
that's
is
right.
here.
I want to go back, and we're talking to Steve Rivers and all of you folks listening in Sylacauga, and it's always good to say the word Sylacauga. Home is home, but. Steve, I want to go back to Decatur. I want you to talk about the staff. I want Mark to hear your staff when you were the head coach, some of the coaches that went through with you at Decatur High School.
All right. I'm glad you brought it up because I wrote down to be sure I mentioned these guys.
Good.
And I'll probably leave somebody out. But I didn't have many strengths as a coach, but one strength I did have was hiring good people. I had some good help, and I tell them all the time, every time I see them, if I'd let y'all coach a little bit more, we may have won the Dead Burn State Championship a couple of times.
Listen to this.
Anyway, Alan Creasy was with me. I hired him. I had to coach the offensive line for my one Decatur team to wait on him because I called him and wanted him to hire him, but he couldn't leave the job he was because it was midsummer. So.
Yeah.
He came with me and stayed with me we were together for 10 or 12 years. And when I left Athens, he, of course, got the head coaching job and won a state championship at Athens.
He did.
Yep.
Bob Godsey. I hired Bob right out of Troy State. And his dad was a legendary coach up this way. And Bob worked with us for 7 or 8 years, and he was a great coach. And
yep.
just like Alan Young, and that, of course, Alan Creasy's dad was Don Creasy, who's Hall of Fame man. And anyway, those two were special coaches. Mike Ward was a coach for us. He was already there. I didn't hire him. He was already at Decatur. I kept him, and he ended up being the principal at Decatur.
And the tennis tennis coach at one time. Mike was
Lee Cagle was an assistant the whole time I was there at Decatur, and the whole time Jerry Adcock was there.
Yep.
And so he was assistant at Decatur, strong coach for so long. And Dwight Lawler was the head coach at West Morgan after he left us at Decatur. He was the best coach I've ever been around, who could chew a kid out on the field with no – we didn't use any profanity, but I'm talking about just fuss at him.
Yeah.
And then when the practice was over, you'd look, and the player would have his arm around Dwight walking off the field, making sure he wasn't mad at him. And of course, he wasn't either.
But, yeah.
And Ronnie Ritter, Ronnie coached. He was a quarterback in high school. I had to have a line coach, and he coached the line and did a heck of a job.
That.
He was the head coach at Lauderdale County High.
Yep.
Just went in the Hall of Fame over there at Lauderdale County. And I know I'm leaving somebody out, but there were many guys that contributed and worked so hard for us to get the job done, and we got it done. We were real successful, but just couldn't get over the humps of a big one.
Well, yeah, and you know, Steve, I never talk to Jerry when he doesn't tell Steve River stories. He holds you in such high esteem. And
I'm sorry. That's one thing I did leave out, but I did mention him earlier.
Yeah.
Jerry was a heck of a coach for me, and then a heck of a coach for the city of Decatur.
He was awesome. He was, and then still just a pillar. And even, you know, he's a Steve Rivers guy. That's what he tells me. He's a Steve Rivers guy. And we got to get out of here, but I want to tell you how much it means to me personally for you to do what you did today. And thank you so much. I can't wait to see you over at St. Michael's sometimes this year. And please say hello to Joan. I love you, buddy. Always special to this person.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
All right. You take care. God bless. Steve Rivers.
That's one of the best.
He was. And I tell you, he gets a chance to watch his son do what he did for so many years. We'll be right back.
This segment of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahoe, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile, and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
You know, as we go through this summer and we talk to these legends, every time I hear one of them talk, there's always a message in what they say about somebody who changed his life. Tom Calvin was his dad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That became Coach Rivers' dad, Coach Steve Rivers. And you know, as you look, and each person we have in our legend series talks to us about somebody who has been meaningful and been a person of just a person that really helped shape who they were, shaped their character, helped shape their future. And I don't think sometimes we take that to heart. You know, I look back through my life. You look back through yours. I can go back and say, you know, that this one coach, there was a coach by the name of Art Hill in my life that I can never repay all the things he did for me. Just a man who of highest integrity and helped shape me. And I became a coach because of Art Hill. That's when I decided. I started thinking when I was in college, what do I want to do? And I started thinking of Coach Hill and the things that he had done in my life. And I said, you know, I want to be that guy. He was a guy who always had a moment for you.
Yeah.
always. Didn't matter what it was. It may not be the best moment you wanted at the time, but it was a moment that I needed. Mm-hmm. And those kind of things, you know, and I think parents today, if we'll pray the prayer that you sent us today about where two or three are gathering in my name, I am there with you.
Yeah.
That's pretty powerful. And if that be the case, if parents will make that prayer, if two are gathering in my name, I'm there with you. I'm in your midst. God says, I am in your midst.
Yeah.
And if he's there and we're saying, help my kids, put people in my kids' life. Because we say the word we hear today is, it takes a village.
Yeah.
Well, it does take a village. And it takes a village of the people we want around our kids to help to raise them the way that we want them to be. It's not that they'll be little clones of Mark, because that's, God forbid that ever happen. We would want the kids to be brought up in the right way, to be the best version of themselves.
Right.
And our coaches, and our, we have teachers and coaches that can do that. That can do, and they are out there, and they're doing it every single day.
Yeah.
There are. All we got to do is look for them. That's all we have to do. We have so many people out there that God has placed in the lives of our children, in the lives of our coaches, in the lives of our schools that are there to help and bring people up to be the very best version of themselves that they can be. I had that. I was so fortunate that I had that. I really did. I had people in my life. I have a sister in my life to today is still my hero. She makes me want to be the best version of myself because she stood against the storm and said, I will not falter.
I love that.
And she would not. Deaf from the day she was born. Came through this, our school system, went through, graduated, got a high school diploma, worked for years at South Central Bell in their keyboarding department for years, retired, and now she's one of the, this guy who owns a construction company. She's the group that comes in and gets the house ready to go. Once it's all the work's done, she's the one who takes the team in there and says, let's get this baby cleaned up. And she tells them what to do, and they snap too.
Yeah.
You know, she's been through a lot. She was bullied when she was young.
Yeah.
You know, and she wouldn't take it. It didn't let her, and she stood there, and, you know, she's more temper than I had. She co-cocked some old boy one day, just kept on talking to her, and she just slugged him. Boom, gone. He's down. And he didn't say another word to my sister. You know, I thought I had to defend her. I didn't have to defend her, you know. And so, but, you know, she was put in my life.
Yeah.
My mom and daddy had her, and she's younger than me, and still she's my hero. You know, she's my hero. And her coaches, Art Hill's a hero of mine. John Meadows is a hero of mine.
Yeah.
You know, Steve Rivers was a hero of yours.
Absolutely.
And a lot of your character and who you are because what you saw in him when you were a kid. So when, you know, if I'm going to say a prayer today, it's going to be that prayer you said this morning. That was wonderful today when you sent that out today. And where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there in your midst. Man, that's powerful, Coach.
And I appreciate you mentioning Matthew 18:20, and I do because there's a lot of pain going on right now in our coaching circle, in our circle of friends. And I appreciate you doing that because I want to mention some of these coaches. And Matthew 18:20, Mark, you said it great. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And we really got some coaches. Jimmy Perry was head coach here at St. Paul's in Mobile.
Yes, sir.
But he's also the head coach at Robert E. Lee in Montgomery. Jimmy's really struggling right now. And he's in Birmingham in the hospital. And I hope everyone will say a prayer for Jimmy and these other coaches. Alvin Briggs, former executive director of the Alabama High School Athletic Association. He and his wife, Roxy, their beautiful daughter, Candace. They just lost a child, Candace did. And, boy, it's just it's tough. And Philip Lolly, guy struggling with that dreaded disease that we all despise. Our friend David Stapleton having some heart issues and getting work done on that. Lawrence Yelding is in the hospital, head coach at BC Rain here in Mobile. Earl Lewis, one of those coaches that coached Steve Rivers at Sylacauga High School, is really struggling in his he's getting older. He's getting up in age. Sam Baldwin, a coach at the University of Alabama Huntsville, just passed away. Young guy. Ask you to be with those folks. Those are good people that are really struggling, and there's a lot of people other than coaches that are struggling.
Yes.
But that's who we are.
Right.
And those are our people. And they have families, they have children. And again, I want to emphasize Matthew, the 18th chapter, the 20th verse. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That's pretty powerful, I'm going to tell you.
It is powerful.
I want to shout out to some people. I had a little injury. I tripped over a stake out at the golf course and hurt my shoulder again. And I thought I'd torn my rotator cuff.
Yeah,
Doctors sent me to Encore to Sarah and Lacey and Buffy and those ladies out there, and they have repaired me, and now I can swing just like you, Mark.
Oh, God. Bless your heart. I'm sorry.
But I certainly appreciate everything that those folks have done, and I want to mention Encore because we're so appreciative of the job that those folks do. You know, Stacy Harrelson. I think of Stacy, and I think of all the things he's doing. When a kid's hurt, he's there than the silver bullet. Yeah, you've seen that commercial, the silver bullet. Stacy's on that field just as quick as he can get there. I appreciate Paige Plash and here in Mobile. And
if you don't mind, Rick, I'm going to give a shout-out to ours.
I'm going to get you here
in
a second.
Beth Johnston.
Yeah, good people. I'm just talking
saved
about
good my
people.
Life.
Saved your life, yeah. Paige and Stacy and Paul up in Decatur, and just a great group of people there at Encore. So when you see those Encore people, they are the ones that when your child is injured in an athletic event, they're right there to take care of your child. And I appreciate them so much. But my ladies there in Spanish Fort at Encore, Sarah and Lacey and Buffy, I sure do appreciate them. I mean, just been good people to us. Hope you'll remember those folks in prayer. And, you know, Mark, I thought you made a great comment today when you said that to parents about not heading after a coach after a game. Wait, give them 48 hours before you talk to them. That's right. Hey, thank you for being a part of our show. We appreciate Mike Knapp and Steve Rivers. Remember this, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, he is always with you. God bless you. Steve Stanley, thank you for being here and taking care of us so many times. We'll see you same place, same time next week.